So today we've had two great examples of women leading us in worship, right? Isn't that wonderful? So thank you both to Nora and June. I wanted to make sure I got their names right, for singing for us, and for Amanda as well. So thank you. It is always a blessing to be able to be in the church on Mother's Day. And so I have to get this on film so that maybe someday Kristen stops being mad at me. So let me tell you about the first Mother's Day that Kristen got to get stuff from the church. So, okay, Harper was born on the 6th. Okay. The next day was Mother's Day that year. And so there's 2 days, you know, there was a day in between this year. But the next day was Mother's Day. And the most intelligent decision I've ever made, I say very sarcastically, I said, well, I've got to be in church. I'm supposed to preach on Mother's Day. So I went to church that next day and preached. And Harper's 7 now, and I still haven't lived that down. So for all you dads out there, make sure that you make a big deal out of Mother's Day and don't go do your job today. Be smarter than me. We got a great scripture this morning that just happens to fit really well for Mother's Day, and it's on it's Acts chapter 9, verses 36 through 43. And it's Acts 9, 36 through 43. Now in Joppa there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time she became ill and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, who heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him with the request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs, and all the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put all of them outside, and then he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner. This is the word of God for us, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
So, I'm not going to tread new ground with this sermon today, okay? I want you to think about some of the women in your life who have made a difference for you. Those women who have showed you ways to live, showed you courage, showed you their intelligence, showed you their feistiness. Whatever it is, I firmly believe, and I know this to be my case, that we are all made up of little pieces that we take from a whole bunch of different people, right? I think about that. I had a student asking me about, you know, ministry and why I do things the way I do or whatever. And I said, well, this is from this pastor and that's from that pastor. And this is from that deacon that I knew. And this is another thing I saw, right? And I've just grabbed little pieces from all these different people and mushed it together into whatever becomes the way I do things, right? And I think that that's kind of what we do with our lives, isn't it? If we really think about it, the way that we, interact with, the way that we cook, the way that we go and give a hand to somebody who's hurting, the words that we say, right? Have you ever opened up your mouth and grandma came out? Right? I did that the other day, you know. We're not trying to air condition all of Spartanburg County, right? It was my dad, right? came out. But we all are made up of all those that have come before us and been wonderful examples to us. And so I want you to think of some of those, and I want to go through just a few of those, and I'm focusing on women today for myself. Right? So growing up, I remember my first, of course, example of women leading in my life was my mother. And I remember when I was very small, before my parents were both teachers, but before she had a job in the school system, she worked at Hardee's. And she was the biscuit lady at the Hardee's, okay? And I loved that. One of the few things I remember from being that little, because she stopped when I was about four, okay? She got a job at the school system. But one of the things I remember best about that is those cinnamon raisin biscuits that Hardee's, I guess they still have them. I don't go very often, but those things I love, because she would make all the biscuits in the morning, and then if there was stuff left over, she'd get to bring it home. I don't know if they do that anymore at restaurants. Probably not. But she would bring home those cinnamon raisin biscuits, and oh my goodness, I love those things, right? Man, if I want to get transported back, you know, 35 years, then I can eat one of those, man. And I remember the selflessness, right? She already had her degree. She was working towards a master's degree and all this, and she sacrificed so that I, as the oldest kid, could be taken care of, right? And getting up at ungodly hours to make biscuits. And I think of that faithfulness and that love. I think of my grandmother that you've heard me talk about before, Granny Drum. And I think of the way that she, everything that she said came from Scripture, right? Even if it was kind of scolding us, okay? So if we got in trouble or we were telling a story, you know, and that was her way of saying we were lying. She'd never quite come out and say we were lying about something, but you never, you know, want to tell Grandma a lie, right? So we'd say, you know, oh, no, I didn't do that. She'd look at you, truth ain't in you. And then if you got in trouble, you try to give her a kiss, you know, to try to get her to not be mad at you. She said, don't give me those Judas kisses. And I remember that she was, you know, in many ways a surrogate mother for my cousins who, you know, and various other children that showed up many times over the years at my grandma's house. We'd show up and there was another Josh. My cousin was named Josh, and there was a second Josh. And, oh, there's a second Tim. We don't know where these kids came from, but they all knew her as Granny Drum. She was kind of almost a Dorcas, right? A Tabitha, who loved and served in many wonderful ways. Now, was she ever the one who stood in front of the congregation and spoke? No. She was never that type of lady. But she served and she loved. And then I think of the leaders in the church that I knew. I think of my the first minister that I really remember. Was Reverend Mary John Dye, who retires this year. And she was the first female minister in our whole county, okay? And I remember from her both her stick-to-itiveness in the face of a whole bunch of people that were just kind of annoyed that she just happened to be a woman, right? And her faithfulness through the 8 years that she was our pastor, that by the time she left, some of those same people who were really mad at her were really sad and mad that she was leaving, you know. She had to blaze that trail, though. And I think of my the deacon, Reverend Kitty Crane, who was one of my mentors early in the ministry, who helped me to understand what the difference is between what I do as an elder and what a deacon does, and helped me to understand that I didn't have to be a firebrand in order to be a disciple of Jesus, that I didn't have to be constantly ticking everybody off in order to love Jesus, that I could be loving and kind and slow in the way that I work with people. And there's a million more down the line, right? There are so many wonderful women in our lives that have shown you and me how it is to be a Christian. And I hope that you also can think this morning, take some time to think about that line of faithful women who has supported you. I don't know about you, but I don't think I ever had a Sunday school teacher who was a dude. Right? That formation is important. We sometimes get wrapped up in the church in thinking about the people who end up on TV. And with a few notable exceptions, most of the people who end up on TV are united in one thing. It's that they're dudes, right? We get up here and we've got really good hair that you could be in a Category 5 hurricane and it wouldn't move, right? That's a requirement to be a TV preacher. That's why I'm not one. Other reasons too. You've got to be a certain thing, right? You've got to have the perfect suit. You've got to be so well-spoken and everything has to rhyme, right? Another reason I'm not a good TV preacher. None of my stuff rhymes. There's all this, like, if you're not famous, it somehow doesn't count. Or if you're not the one in front of the bill of the room looking out at everybody else, then suddenly your contribution doesn't matter. What I want you to think about is, most of the time, you don't remember what the preacher says. Right? You can be honest with me. Right? Most of the time, you don't remember what the preacher says. We spend time and we think, oh, we've got all this really profound stuff and we've got a great hook and we're going to tell you all this stuff and you're going to go home and you're going to get something to eat and you're going to be talking and you might turn on the race or you might watch something else on TV and pretty soon you're like, what was the scripture? Right? But you never forget the lady that showed up at your house with cookies when you were down. You never forget the person who came to your house with a prayer shawl, right? You hold on to that blanket you were given while you were having your cancer treatments, right? You never forget the kind-heartedness of the woman who nurtured your faith in Sunday school. You never forget the youth leader who was kind and patient with your middle school-y antics and overlooked the inappropriate things you might have said, knowing that you were going to grow up, because that's what happens to all of us, right? You never forget that small, behind-the-scenes, little stuff in the eyes of the world, but which is huge in reality, right? I want you to think about this story. Dorcas, or Tabitha, same name, different languages. She dies. And they call for Peter. Like, they go get him from a town next door and drag him over because Dorcas died. Now, do you think nobody else in that town died? I bet you a whole bunch of really important and really well-dressed and perfect-haired dudes died in that town, and nobody went running for Peter. But they went running for Peter for Dorcas. Why? Because when they were sad, and when they were poor, and when they were hungry, who showed up at the door? Dorcas. When they were mourning over the loss of a loved one, Dorcas showed up. Notice, who's upstairs mourning? The widows and the poor people. You see, the important people in town didn't have time for them. They only showed up at the fancy dinners, and they showed up at the affairs of state, and those people are kicked out of those engagements. Dorcas was with the people who mattered. And they knew where to go. They went to Peter and they said, you hung out with Jesus, you can do something. We trust in him through you. And notice, Peter is almost barely in the story. He's not the important part of this story, is he? The important part of this story is the calm, steady faithfulness of Dorcas. This woman who never allowed the brokenness of the world to stop her from fulfilling her mission for Jesus. And her mission was not to go and be the largest and the greatest and the most amazing and the this and the that and the other, but it was to love, to feed, to bless. Last week we talked about Peter talking to Jesus and him telling him what? Do you remember? You already forgot now. Feed my sheep, right? Jesus says, feed my sheep, tend my lambs. Lo and behold, our next scripture is about somebody who did just that. She fed Jesus' lambs. She tended Jesus' sheep, the ones who needed it the most. And her reward is that the people who she loved and never forgot what she did, and so that when she was in need, they found a special, supernatural way of bringing her back to be with them. Imagine that kind of impact. The good thing is, you don't have to imagine that kind of impact. You can have that kind of impact just by the little things behind the scenes. The love and the kindness and the joy that you show to those people around you, that's what people remember, right? You're not going to, 20 years from now, you're going to have no clue that I preached on the Dorcas sermon today. But you're going to remember what Granny did, right? You're going to remember your mom taking you out for cookies or something. You're going to remember the time that you have with those faithful women in your life. You have a wonderful opportunity to make a difference in the lives of those around you. So I challenge you today, be a Tabitha, be a Dorcas. Forget being a Peter. Be the one that when you're gone, people are so desperate to get you back that they go and they grab the big deal dude and bring him back and say, this is your job. Make yourself useful, right? What a wonderful, wonderful image. May we all, this is not just for ladies, may us dudes too, may we be Dorcases. May we be Tabithas. So loving and kind that the thought of being without us is unthinkable to the people around us. Not because we're great, not because we're eloquent, not because we're the best, but because we love in the name of Jesus. So let's go out in honor of Mother's Day, and let's be a whole bunch of little Tabithas and Dorcases, loving the widows, the orphans, and those who are alone and lonely. Amen?